Hello and a warm welcome to Mark Langdon's Bets Club, your one-stop shop for football betting insight. Jack Reeve and Mark Langdon to guide you through proceedings once more. We're going to be taking a look back on the midweek Champions League action. Plenty of Premier League football to preview, including a big North London derby. And of course, we'll be joined by Dan Childs later on in the show for his EFL takes. Mark, it's already been an action-packed week of football. How are you faring?
I thought you were going to say an action-packed morning because we've had to move spots because my neighbour is, I don't know what he's doing, banging some nails in and sawing something else. So, yeah, it has been a very action-packed return to the Champions League. Always loved the competition. You know, it's just the highest quality of football you can get, really. The group stage, I know, some people are not, you know, overly excited about all aspects of it. But, you know, when you've got the Lazio goalkeeper scoring an equalising goal against Atletico Madrid, you know, Man United involved in, I was going to call it a seven-goal thriller. It wasn't, didn't really feel as thrilling as that, albeit, you know, there were seven goals. Yeah, I mean, storylines are plenty. Always like it. I'm a bit wary about when they change it for next season for this, you know, the Swiss model. I think it probably will mean that there's more kind of bigger teams playing each other more often, which I suppose isn't a bad thing, but probably even less jeopardy. And, you know, there's a fair amount of it around at the moment. Do you see Wilf Zaha making his Champions League debut, putting a cross in for Tete for Galatasaray in their 2-2 draw? So, yeah, then that Galatasaray team's absolutely bizarre. It's just got, yeah, like all kind of, like Dries Mertens, Ziyech, Icardi, then, you know, they bring on Ndombele and Zaha. Yeah, so a crazy sort of a team and set up there. So, yeah, I love the Champions League.
I think my favourite moment of the kind of game week, Mark, was seeing Jacob Murphy smile as the Champions League theme tune kind of rang round the stadium. And just he was just sort of looking, clearly going, how have I got here? How am I playing in the Champions League? It was brilliant.
It was brilliant. You know what, though? I think Newcastle played a bit like how Murphy sort of was feeling because they were, you know, rabbits in the headlights, almost, you know, as if the San Siro was kind of like, yeah, too big for them. They really didn't play their game. I mean, they'll be happy they got a point out of it because, you know, on expected goals, they were absolutely hammered. Anybody that sort of watched the game will have realised that, you know, Milan should have won that pretty comfortably. So I just think from Newcastle's point of view, I know you're saying it's nice for Murphy, and it is. But yeah, Newcastle sort of played as if they were overawed by the occasion. And also, while we're just talking about nice moments, I mean, what a nice moment it would have been if Union Berlin would have held on for another sort of 1 minute away to the mighty Real Madrid. But you can't keep Jude Bellingham down for too long. That's the third time he scored in like the last few minutes to win a game for Real Madrid already this season. So, storylines are plenty.
Remarkable, Mark, isn't it, with Bellingham? Myself and producer Will were chatting before you sort of joined the call. We're saying you don't associate, well, you certainly didn't used to associate Bellingham with being a goal scorer. And now, if he doesn't score, you're going, oh, that's a bit strange.
Yeah, well, I mean, his position has changed now. So, at Real Madrid, although he wears the number five, he is playing basically as the number 10. So, in Ancelotti's diamond, he's playing just off the two forward. So he's getting forward a lot, takes the responsibility. I know it was a tap-in against Union Berlin. He'll score, you know, harder goals than that, I'm sure, this season. But it's more the fact that he wants to be in the box all the time. You know, he wants to take responsibility to shoot. He's just one of the world's best midfielders, and because he hasn't played in the Premier League, I still think there are some people that don't appreciate kind of just how good he is, because obviously he was in the Championship, then he plays in Germany and then in Spain. And so, you know, if he was doing this for Manchester City, he'd be getting the, you know, he's probably better for his career that he's not being hyped up too much in this country, albeit, you know, I think everybody in Spain has quickly realised what everybody in Germany already knew and everyone in Birmingham knew before that he's a very special talent.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant to watch. Just a quick mention for one of our followers who tweeted us during the week. In terms of tough beats, his ACCA during the week was up there. All seven of the results were coming in until the Lazio goalkeeper scored in the 95th minute.
Could be money back if a goalkeeper ruins your asset.
Oh dear. Just a quick word on United, Mark. You briefly mentioned it earlier. I mean, there were seven goals and, you know, on the face of it, it was a thriller. Actually, it didn't really play out that way. Where are we at with Manchester United? Because, you know, we mentioned last week that the vibe around the place clearly isn't very good and it doesn't seem to be improving.
Yeah, I think it depends how you sort of want to judge Manchester United going into the game. Because if you judge them how most people did, that, you know, they're hapless, they're in terrible form, they've got no chance against Bayern Munich, they're going to be thrashed, you can actually come away from that and think, oh, well, they haven't done too bad. You know, they scored three goals. You know, Onana is not going to make that mistake, you know, probably for the rest of the season.
Well, you hope not.
you certainly would hope not if you're a Manchester United fan. The Eriksen penalty that was given against him was soft. There was a moment at 0-0 when it looked like they were going to score. They had a couple of good opportunities. There were some OK performances in there. You know, somebody like Reguilón, for instance, played very well at left back. So Højlund got his first goal. So, you know, you could make positives, but that just then sort of, you know, well, you're Manchester United. You should be going to Bayern Munich believing you can win that game in the first place. You know, you're not, you know, for instance, I mentioned Newcastle, didn't I? And, you know, feeling like the occasion was quite a big one for them. Manchester United over the past decade have spent enough money, have had enough managers, there's been enough talent sort of, you know, going through those doors to be able to go to Bayern Munich and play on a level playing field against them. And it didn't feel like that. And Bayern Munich, you know, weren't sort of out of second gear, really, it looked like to me. And every time United sort of got close to them, they just stepped it up again and scored. So I feel like they've come out of the game sort of not having been humiliated. But is that what Manchester United's sort of target and aims are, to sort of go into those type of games and just be, you know, in the match and not have the you know, sort of war and peace written about what a disastrous start it's been? So I found it a really hard game to judge because, yeah, it all depends really on how you sort of see Manchester United, I suppose, as a football club, and sort of their standing in the English game, in the European game.
Right. I feel I've warmed you up well enough, Mark. I think it's time to talk about the North London derby. Here we go then. It's the big match of the weekend. Arsenal against Spurs. 7-10 Arsenal, 16-5 the draw, 10-3 Tottenham. Mark, we've discussed a few of the Champions League games. We can't go into this without discussing Arsenal's win against PSV in the week. 4-0 winners. Convincing and confidence boosting going into this.
Yeah, Jack, you know we like a Bosch on the WhatsApp. You know, you got, what's his name from The Apprentice? Tom
Skinner.
Tom Skinner, and then also Big John, the Chinese eating Essex man. So but Peter Bosch, the PSV manager.
I wondered where you were going with that then.
Yeah, he played right into Arsenal's hands. I mean, they were so attack-minded, PSV. I don't think Arsenal could believe the amount of space that was sort of being left for them. And boy, did they take advantage. All of the attacking players looked good. Saka got his goal. Trossard, a very different player to Martinelli, but somebody that still offers a big threat, scored. The Jesus goal was wonderfully worked. And then Odegaard, who's, you know, really stepping up. You know, if you think about his improvement over the last year or so, to where he is in terms of Premier League pecking order now, in terms of being, you know, the best player or one of the best players right up there. So a very convincing performance. There were no issues over the goalkeeper in terms of, you know, David Raya started, no mistake from him, another clean sheet, because, you know, as soon as one of the goalkeepers, whoever plays, makes a mistake, Arteta's going to be blamed for changing it around. So, you know, I think it was important that there was no errors there. You know, Arsenal haven't been watertight at the back, so a clean sheet will do them good going into the North London derby. And then they were able to make a number of substitutions. All the kind of key men were taken off as the game wore on. So, you know, I think there would have been a fear that it could have been a distraction ahead of the North London derby. And, you know, if you play a really hard game in the Champions League, it's not ideal. As it was, you know, really picked up the confidence. Everybody's feeling good heading into to what's a really intriguing game against Spurs on Sunday.
Everyone's feeling good at Arsenal, and I think everyone's feeling good at Spurs. I mean, on the last show, Mark, you were really bigging up Postecoglou, you were bigging up Spurs, and you were going, it would be classic Spurs now to go and lose to Sheffield United. And I was flicking through the scores, and I was going, oh my goodness, it's actually happened. You're going to lose to Sheffield United. And then, you know, flicked off, flicked back on, and I'm like, they've won. How have they done that? I mean, just the most remarkable circumstances at the end.
Yeah, a big victory just in regards to just keeps the belief and the feel good factor going. What I would say is that White Hart Lane can be it can be quick to turn on the players and the managers when things are not going well. Even when they were losing 1-0 against Sheffield United, fans didn't go in that direction. I think a sure sign that Postecoglou has. You know, he's got everybody pulling in the same direction. There were some wonderful scenes after the game, and the celebration police were out in force, you know, because it was only 2-1. It was only Sheffield United. But I think it was more about didn't want to go into the Arsenal game sort of having lost to Sheffield United, because all of a sudden that good start could become two defeats in a row. And then you've got Liverpool next. And you suddenly the season falls apart almost. And I think it was more about, just keeping that a belief going. And it worked. And they definitely deserve to beat Sheffield United, although they face a very different test against Arsenal. And they're going up in quality because I'm an Ange believer. I love what he says. I love the way he does. His interviews and just his whole demeanour. If you want to be ultra kind of harsh on Spurs, you go, well, okay, they drew away at Brentford on the opening day, not a bad result. They beat a Manchester United team that we've subsequently seen is in disarray. The other games, Bournemouth, Burnley, Sheffield United, just in isolation, you expect to win those games, wouldn't you, if you were Tottenham? So this is a much, much bigger test. And as sort of going back to kind of the way that PSV played against Arsenal, you know, Tottenham will look to do that, but do it better. But they'll have a go at Arsenal. And that to me just means we're in for an absolutely great game, because in recent years, Tottenham have gone to the Emirates and they've tried to defend and that hasn't worked. So they may as well play on the front foot. But that probably suits Arsenal even more.
Two teams who are wanting to attack. I assume we're going on a goals angle for your bet here.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. So over 3.5 looks the way to go. It's happened in 4 of the last 5 at the Emirates between these two teams. 32 games since a 0-0 draw in the North London derby. So I'm expecting goals and goals at both ends.
I know in previous seasons, Mark, when we've discussed the North London derby, you're one of those that maybe hides behind the sofa. Has it changed somewhat now that you've got a bit of belief back in the system?
You have to ask me about 2 o'clock on Sunday. At the moment, yes, because there's a few things worse, really, I think, in terms of when you're a football fan, just like when you're hanging on. It's a really horrible way to play the game. And obviously Mourinho, Nuno and Conte all wanted to play that way where they were just looking to hang on. At least when you've got possession and you're trying to attack, there will be moments when you've got the ball and it's not just wave after wave after wave of Arsenal attack. Now, it might be that in playing that way, just allows so many gaps that Arsenal then hit Tottenham on the counter-attack. But they played defensive and lost there for... was it 5 of the last 6 years that they've lost at the Emirates? So why not try something different?
Really excited for it. Can't wait. Let's get stuck into the rest of the Premier League games. OK, let's kick things off then. Saturday, 3 o'clock, Crystal Palace against Fulham, Mark. Where's your money lying here?
Yeah, tough game, really. I was looking at the draw. Fulham, if you look at their sort of season, you can go, well, they were reduced to 10 men in the defeat at Brentford, so maybe that's understandable. They lost at Man City, deserved to lose, but there was a joke of a decision in there that really turned the game. Outside of that, they've beaten Everton and Luton to nil. They've drawn at Arsenal and knocked Tottenham out of the EFL Cup. So it's actually been probably quite a good start for them. So, yeah, maybe a point at Selhurst.
Okay, now Luton against Wolves. We've already, you know, we're not too far into the Premier League season, are we, Mark? You know, Luton now the only side in the league without a point, and the naysayers are really starting to come out of the woodwork. The embarrassment for the league, I've seen banded around a little bit. I've spoken to a few Luton fans and going, how do you feel about this season so far? And actually, they're content. They're happy with the way they're playing football. They understand that it's going to be a tough season. And actually, you know, this is a far bigger thing than just this season. If they can get their finances in a good place, then hopefully, if they do go down, then they're going to be operating at the top end of the Championship consistently, as opposed to the bottom. But they won't want this losing run to continue for too much longer.
No, they won't. I think it will, actually. I'm going to go for a Wolves win. I mean, they only had 22% possession at Fulham last week.
I was trying to big them up then, Mark, and you just
they missed some chances in the game. But if you're only having 22% possession at Fulham, you know, that shows you kind of, you know, how difficult it's just going to be. And Rob Edwards has sort of mentioned, you laughed at me when I said about ability in both boxes, but he mentioned that as well, that that's kind of where they're lacking at the moment. They've been in the last couple of games. It's not like they're getting beat 4-5-0. So, I mean, I don't see it as a humiliating start at all for them. You know, they only lost by one goal in the last two. But Wolves have scored in their last five games. If they score a goal, that might be enough to win this one. And I actually think that the Wolves have played better than the league table suggests so far. So it looks like a winnable game for Luton, but I'm going to go for a Wolves win.
Okay. Sorry, Luton fans. Tried my best. Manchester City against Nottingham Forest. Manchester City just, you know, seems just effortlessly going through the gears at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, we didn't even mention the fact that they beat Red Star Belgrade, because in the Champions League, you just expect them to win. Yeah. And I know they fell behind, but the stats on the game were absolutely bonkers. I mean, I think it could have been 8 or 9, in all honesty. So it was a convincing enough win. I mean, Forest conceded 6 on their trip to the Etihad last season. I think they've improved from then. Really hard, because City are so short, it's hard to find any great value. I just thought Julian Alvarez to score first might be the way to go. What a goal that was that he scored. The first one, you know, the finish was incredible. You know, a beautiful finish. He scored in his last three home games. Obviously, Erling Haaland takes a lot out of the book. Just think Alvarez is playing as well as him.
Yeah, glad you mentioned Alvarez, Mark, because, you know, we mentioned last season when he maybe wasn't getting as much game time as we'd have hoped, that, you know, there's a fantastic player waiting there to be unleashed. And Pep's clearly now giving him the time and repaying the faith.
Yeah, scored in the last three home games. Looks a threat at all times. I mean, if he was playing up front for Real Madrid, like, you wouldn't be surprised, would you? Like, he's that good to be playing up front for somebody like that. And yet, he up until this season, he was a you know, backup striker. They've changed the formation slightly, changed his position. And I think they need to. He needs to play minutes, otherwise they'll end up losing him because he, you know, he's too good to not start.
We mentioned Luton having no points so far this season. The team we're about to preview now only have one. It's Brentford against Everton. It's the evening game on Saturday, 5:30 kickoff this one. I mean, it's not looking too good for Everton, Mark.
No, I thought they were really poor against Arsenal. You know, you expect even just some blood and thunder and just... Was it when Roy King sometimes, what was it, he said, sometimes you want them to smash into someone just to make yourself feel a little bit better. Like, they weren't even that physical against Arsenal. And I know I'm not advocating sort of breaking people's legs, but they just weren't getting, you know, they weren't getting in Arsenal's faces. They weren't sort of putting crosses in. And it was just a meh performance from them, really. And Arsenal sort of just got a bit, Arsenal got bored and eventually woke up to win the game. But no, I was disappointed with Everton, because I suppose I don't expect more in terms of quality. I just expect more in terms of, just getting about people. Mm. And I think this game against Brentford, all you would say is that, you know, Brentford, by the way, Thomas Frank, how good was he on?
Very good.
You know, only wish the best for Brentford. One area they struggle in is when they're favourites at home, they're not a team that I love to back, because it is a struggle. Just seems to be more of a struggle for them. Didn't beat Crystal Palace. They didn't beat Bournemouth either. But I still think that they're better than Everton and should win the game. Just I don't trust them. So Jan Wisser has had 20 Premier League shots this season, which is 12 more than any other Brentford player. He missed a couple of chances last time out. But yeah, if you take that volume of shots, you're a definite runner in the first goal scorer market.
Yeah, work to do for Everton. Another game on Saturday evening. It's Burnley hosting Manchester United. I really enjoyed Forest against Burnley, Mark. I mean, it could have quite easily gone either way. I'd backed Forest. I liked the look of them, but I thought Burnley looked brighter, and I think there's reasons to be cheerful for them after what's been a really tough start.
Yeah, first 20 minutes against Forest, all over the shop, and I was Forest win this game. Grew into it. And played better. I suppose it's just at home this season. They've had hard games, Man City, Tottenham and Aston Villa, three teams that have got that quality in the final third. They just defend so high. I don't know, maybe away from home, if you can just change your style slightly. You know, they weren't that they'd sat back against Forest, but maybe it wasn't quite as kamikaze as what it had been. That being said, I think this is a good game for Manchester United. I'm going to go for a United win. I just think that the space that Burnley leave behind will be absolutely perfect for Manchester United. And, you know, they did score three goals away to Bayern Munich. That's got to be a positive. And Bayern Munich are much better than Burnley.
The insight we all tune in for. It's brilliant. Let's take a look at the Sunday fixtures then. Brighton against Bournemouth will kick things off with. We're at that stage now, Mark, of the season where European football is back up and running again. And you've got the likes of Brighton who, you know, haven't had to juggle this fixture congestion before. How do you think that they'll approach? I guess, you know, you can throw, you know, Newcastle into the same bucket. How do you think they'll go about things?
Yeah, so we were obviously speaking before that they play on Thursday night. They made a load of changes at Old Trafford last week and won. It doesn't seem to matter which player or players come in and go out. The style's the same and the results and performances are the same as well. So I'd be less worried about Brighton maybe than any other team for it. So I'm going to go for a Brighton win and over 2.5 goals. I mean, all five of Brighton's league games have gone over 3.5. So, you know, I'm dialing it down a little bit, dialing it back, going for the 2.5. Yeah, and Brighton's a win.
Okay, good stuff. Pleasing for Brighton fans. Chelsea against Villa. Seemingly the fans I follow on Twitter that, you know, support Chelsea, you've got half in the tearing their hair out, don't know what's going on, losing all faith with Chelsea. The other half going, trust the process, the results will come. Which half do you think are right?
Be more in the latter half, just because I think they've played better than the results have suggested. But you also know what happens at Chelsea to managers who don't win matches. And, you know, Pochettino hasn't got much credit in the bank because of his sort of links to Tottenham in the past. And yeah, he just needs to win. He needs to start winning games. And I'm not sure that they will. I'm going to go for a draw in this match. I mean, Chelsea have won two of their last 17 games. So there's just something not right there at the moment. And until that gets fixed, I just find it hard to back them. I backed them actually last week at Bournemouth. I thought they went off a fair price, but and maybe they could have won, but they didn't. And so, you know, Aston Villa have got the potential to make this really awkward.
What state does it have to get in at Stamford Bridge for there to be a managerial sacking?
Oh, I would say a lot worse. I think that there would be, you know, they'd be absolutely ridiculed if it was even this season, certainly up until February or March. You know, if they're in the bottom half in February, March time, then, you know, if you're Chelsea manager, you kind of expect it at that stage. But no, I think they have to give a manager time.
Okay. Liverpool against West Ham. We spoke last week about Liverpool ticking along nicely and they continue to do so.
Yeah, and I'm going to sort of follow a similar trend really for Liverpool games so far this season in the Premier League. That's Liverpool to win and both teams to score. They've conceded in three of their four league wins this season. West Ham have had BTTS in all of their league games. I mean, they don't play the most enterprising football, but they have got very good players on the counter-attack, West Ham. also dangerous from set pieces, that Ward-Prowse delivery. But ultimately, Liverpool have got a lot of quality in that final third, and that should tell.
Okay, one more Premier League game to look at. Sheffield United against Newcastle. You discussed earlier on in the show, Mark, that you weren't overly impressed with Newcastle against AC. I haven't been overly impressed with them all season, to be honest. Do you think it changes here?
I thought the opening weekend against Aston Villa was good. But I can see them winning this game, but grinding it out. I'm going for Newcastle to win and under 3.5 goals. Because Newcastle, as you say, that they weren't very good at San Siro. They weren't that great against Brentford. It was a fairly soft penalty that won them the match. And they're just, I suppose, just trying to find their way and, just get sort of the rhythm back into their play that was so evident last season. Sheffield United, a team I watched on Saturday. I think Wes Fodderingham still practicing, sort of taking his last few goal kicks. That's how long he was taking over them. I mean, there was, 12 minutes of injury time, could have been 22. Look, Sheffield United are going to do what they think they need to do to try to win or, win points. But it was bordering on farcical at times. But they have only been beaten by one goal in all four of their defeats. So they are competitive. I think they can stay competitive against Newcastle, but just ultimately there is a class difference, and I think it will probably tell.
Well, I hope you've jotted all of those bets down at home. Let's take a look at all things EFL with Dan Childs. If you want some free football bets this season, we've got you covered. Simply head to racingpost.com/freebets, and there you'll find over £200 worth of them for you to use this season. That's racingpost.com/freebets. Right, excited for this, to get stuck into the EFL once more with Dan Childs. Dan, really been enjoying your team in focuses over the last few weeks. Intrigued to hear today's. Now, we're going for Southampton. Now, at the start of the season, I was uber keen on Southampton to go well. Their squad looked good. I was excited about Russell Martin, with a proper team and hopefully a good chance to bounce straight back to the Premier League. Actually, their start has been horrendous. Do you think it's going to get any better, or is this what we need to get used to with Southampton now?
I'm not so sure it will get better certainly in the short term, and whether it gets better quick enough for him to survive, in his job, because the expectations there, as you mentioned, Jack, are so high. Teams that are relegated out of the Premier League, their main aim usually is to go straight back up. There's not really much sign of that at the moment with Southampton. They did start quite well. They got that sort of last gasp winner away to Sheffield Wednesday, picked up another couple of wins, but it's three defeats now in a row. And it's the manner of those defeats that I would be concerned about as a Southampton fan. I watched their game against Leicester last Friday, and it was a 4-1 scoreline, and it could have been worse, actually. Russell Martin, as everybody knows, likes to play a very possession heavy game, and that involves taking risks and passing out from the back. But if you haven't got the players to do that, and other teams are now really locking onto that and trying to press them, Leicester did that, and they were just getting in too easily time and time again. It's if you look at their total chances and shots against for Southampton, they're about halfway up the league, but it's the quality of those chances. It's often one-on-ones, and that's the reason they've conceded 17 goals, which is the highest in the Championship. It's pretty disastrous, and the worry is that things seem to be getting worse rather than better. Now, in the short term, sign of confidence is starting to be an issue. Another defensive error led to the 1-0 defeat at home to Ipswich in midweek. They've dropped into the bottom half now. They're expected really to be pushing towards the top two. I'm not so sure, where this goes, really. I mean, unless there's a turnaround, then before the next international break, you'd have to fear for Russell Martin's position.
And the difficulty, I guess the Russ would be saying that, there was high squad turnover in the summer, which didn't help. I guess he could have expected that happening. The problem that Russell Martin's got now, Dan, is that, both MK Dons and Swansea, they were kind of limited expectation. They were playing pretty football and they were kind of getting away with it. At Southampton, this is the biggest job he's had so far. There is expectation. The squad's still pretty decent. And if it doesn't work here, then where does he go next? been touted as one of the, you know, the upcoming managers in the EFL. Actually, the CV is not looking too great now.
Yeah, I think it's a, you know, he's still a very young manager. I just wonder, there's a danger sometimes when you have a defined philosophy. That's great and a way that you want to play. But sometimes you've got to combine the short term with the long term as well. You might know where you want to get to and the way you want to play. But if you're too dogmatic about that, and you look at the way they play, it's almost comical, really. The risks that they're taking, it's almost suicidal, really, at times. And the confidence starts to go. And sometimes you just need to. They've got a really good squad of players of your bench, as you mentioned. The owners at Southampton, they're going to be their main interest is whether they're going to be pushing for promotion this year, and if they're not in and around it, you know, well into the season, then I think he's going to be in trouble.
Cause for concern at Southampton. Dan, let's get on to your bets for this weekend in the EFL 3, as always. Let's kick things off.
Yeah, going to start off with Reading away to Blackpool in League One. I'm going to go for Reading not to lose this game. I just think that there's a few positive signs coming for Reading, you know, the last couple of results. They played Bolton at home last weekend, won that game 2-1. Apparently it was, you know, looked like on the stats and the match reports that it was quite a deserved victory. So really encouraging one there. They've gone, I mean, yeah, if how much you read into EFL trophy games, I'm not so sure, but they've gone to Exeter on Tuesday and won 9-0. I mean, that is an incredible result. And it's further evidence that Reading's sort of strength in depth, which has been questioned for a while recently, last season when they got relegated, the strength in depth seems to be there now, because you think back to the previous round, they went and scored four goals away to Millwall. They've now gone and scored nine. So the Millwall game was in the EFL Cup, but to be winning with, you know, a near reserves team, 4-0 away to Millwall, 9-0 away to Exeter in the trophy, that's a sign that there's plenty of depth there at Reading. They've got three wins out of seven in the league at the moment. They're on the same points as Blackpool, same points gained as Blackpool, but they've had a points deduction Reading, so they're below them in the league. But Blackpool, team that got relegated with Reading, they've had a bit of a sketchy start as well. Got two wins in seven at the moment under Neil Critchley. Little bit of an issue with fact struggling to score goals. They've failed to score in five of their last six league games, Blackpool, and they've got an issue up front with Shane Lavery, their top scorer, is injured as well. So Blackpool, not so sure about them recently. Reading on the up. Reading, to me, a shade of odds on to, you know, to get some kind of result, draw or win, looks a big price to me.
Yeah, uncertainty off the pitch for Reading, but going relatively well on the pitch. What's the second bet for this weekend?
Second bet, going to drop into League Two, and a regular tip so far this season. I'm going to go with Crawley away to Grimsby. Crawley on the draw, no bets. Good bit of odds against here, about 8-5. I mean, Crawley are up to 6 now. I'm not surprised. I mentioned to you before the way they were playing. They're playing a very, very possession-based style, but it's getting results, you know, unlike Southampton. And they won again at last weekend, got a 3-2 win at home to Tranmere. Twice came from behind in that game, were relentless really through the game and got their rewards eventually in injury time with a winning goal. And you look at the team they're playing, Grimsby, had a sort of mixed start, but they lost 3-0 away to Wrexham last weekend. Two of their forwards were injured for that game. Danny Rose and Abu Issa, you know, quite big players for Grimsby, were out for the Wrexham game. They looked a little bit sort of, not very penetrative up front in that game. So we'll have to wait and see whether either of those players are going to be back. But either way, I think Crawley, you know, 8-5, the way they're playing, draw no bet, looks a big price.
Yeah, I think I can rip up my anti-post Crawley to get relegated. might even be a case down where I've got them to both go down and go up at this rate. We'll see how it goes. Third and final selection for this weekend.
Yeah, we'll stick with League Two, and it's just a straight win. Swindon to win away to Morecambe. There's a little bit of odds against around at the moment, around 11-10. Swindon, one of only two unbeaten teams in League Two at the moment. Mansfield are the other. Got four wins and three draws. They're in third place. Got a game in hand as well on the two teams above them. I mean, lots to like really about Swindon. You've got Jake Young with 9 goals, who's the top scorer in the division at the moment. Charlie Austin's, you know, he's a class act really at that level, although he's, you know, advancing in years now. He got the first goal in a 2-0 win at home to Walsall last Saturday. So Swindon under Mike Flynn going really, really well. Morecambe, They're pretty strong at home normally. They're a team that sort of often play with a low block and counter-attack sides, Morecambe. But my worry for them this week is that Michael Mellon, who's the main striker for them, he's got four of their seven goals this season, and he's suspended. He got sent off for them last week, so he's out for Morecambe. You look at their squad, and they've not really got a like-for-like centre-forward replacement for him. So I think Morecambe might sort of struggle with that counter-attacking strategy this week, and I fancy Swindon to win the game.
Great stuff, Dan. Thanks as always.
You're welcome.
Big thanks to Dan Charles as always. Really loving his team in focus at the moment. Nice slot here on Bets Club. Right, Mark, let's run through some of your best bets for this weekend. Lots of people at home enjoying the Bet Builder. So let's go with another for this weekend.
Yeah, so do you want an 8-1 shot that has copped in three of the last five North London derbies at the end?
That sounds brilliant.
Yeah, it does.
Absolutely.
So, here we go. So Arsenal to win.
What? Yeah. You can't pop Arsenal to win.
They've had the supremacy has definitely been in their favour at the Emirates in recent years. Both teams to score always, traditionally a high scoring fixture. We know that Spurs will have a go. That leaves them vulnerable. And a red card. So not only have Tottenham been losing matches in terms of the North London derby, they've also been losing their heads. It's a really feisty game, between two teams that are pumped up. And yeah, why not? You can see that referees have been clamping down on various sort of aspects this season in terms of yellow cards. And if you're on the yellow, always, then puts you in peril, red peril. So, yeah, Arsenal to win, both teams to score, and a red card, 8-1, happening three of the last five North London Premier League derbies at the Emirates.
More importantly, will you be backing your own team to lose?
I won't have a bet in the game. It's not really in terms of my sort of top bets for this week. I thought Arsenal were fairly priced without being attractive enough to want to back. I wouldn't have any, I wouldn't have any danger in backing Arsenal to beat Tottenham. I've done it in the past. I'll do it again. Team A v Team B when you're betting.
Let's take a look then at a treble for this week, Mark. Been fairly successful over the Bets Club era, so hopefully another for this weekend.
Yeah, Chelsea let it down last week, unfortunately, but Manchester United to beat Burnley. I think this is a good matchup for Manchester United, and some of the doom and gloom might just be over the top. They got three goals away to Bayern Munich, and there'll be space to hit Burnley on the break for sure. Luton have really struggled in the Premier League this season, and I think they'll struggle for the remainder of the campaign as well. So I'm going to go for Wolves to win, and then Brighton to beat Bournemouth. Bournemouth, I feel really sorry for. They've had a horrendous run of fixtures to start the season. It's like big team after big team after big team. And while Brighton, don't fall into the big team category, they do fall into the very good category. So yeah, Man United to beat Burnley, Wolves to beat Luton, and Brighton to beat Bournemouth.
Comes out about 4-1, like the sound of that. What's your strongest bet for this week, Mark? What's the nap?
Yeah, so I'm going to go for Brighton to beat Bournemouth and over 2.5 goals. I mean, Brighton, the way that they sort of dared to play at Old Trafford last week, I mean, it shouldn't come as any surprise. It doesn't matter kind of what 11's on the pitch for De Zerbi. The team just plays in the same way. They play to attack. Bournemouth and Iraola, they haven't quite lived up to kind of, I think, what we were expecting of them in pre-season in terms of them being ultra aggressive. But I go back to their last away game against Brentford that finished 2-2. And I mean, Brentford hit the woodwork on three occasions as well. So not sure about them defensively, but they might find a goal or two themselves. So Brighton to win and over 2.5 goals.
Great stuff. I must say, Mark, a big thanks for your bet last week in terms of the shots in the Spurs. It was a mark I've never dipped in before, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I was at a wedding on the Saturday, and I was really enjoying your updates from the shot count in the Spurs game.
The game's because obviously Spurs are chasing the match. For 110 minutes of it, they weren't winning, so that does help. But yeah, I mean, it was surprising to find it sort of in the mid-20s. And I think that you'll probably see Tottenham games, the total shots in Spurs games, sort of nearer the 30 mark, I would imagine, in future.
And I'm sure all of our loyal listeners do, because they're clever people, but worth shopping about for prices. I sent you a couple, didn't I? And they were sort of half the price that you'd said. And we eventually found a good price in the end. So great stuff. There we go. Another week of Bets Club all wrapped up. Thanks to Mark, as always. A big thank you to Dan Charles for his insight on the EFL. You can find more of his work on Racing Post Sport, as well as all of our other top tipsters. Mark's put up plenty of selections this week. Please don't feel the need to back them all and only ever gamble with money that you can afford to lose. We'll be back next Thursday for another episode of Mark Langdon's Bets Club.